Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life. On demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you. And now it's time for roll call. Who are you?
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
And that is the consciousness of plentitude. When you know who and what you are, that you are one with the one, you're clear that all your needs are met. And we have another prayerful reminder here. God is my shepherd. The Agape Choir. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show.
Thank you.
That's awesome. God bless indeed. Wow. If God has my shepherd, I shall not want anything. Anything at all. It was. It is. When we realize, remember that God is our shepherd. not some man in a cloud, but this ever alive presence within us that is constantly guiding us, directing us. It continues to resource us because it is the source of all things. So when you are one with the One, one with God, one with the law of life, it's easy to surrender when you know it. But if you're not quite clear, not sure, what if I surrender and things don't turn out right? Who is your shepherd? That is the question. the Agape Choir. God is my shepherd. That's the trick. You know, you're already in the house of the Lord. You're already in the house of God. You're already in the house of the law of life. That's what today's conversation is about, reminding you that you already live in plenitude. The Agape Choir, to find out more about them, their website address is agape.live.com, agapelive.com. And to catch some of their services, past services, you can go to livestream.com, and you can find the archive of their services. That's right. Welcome home. Welcome to yourself. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're alive. And it's time to start living life fully. And leave an impression, leave a legacy. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I Am is your host. The I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, here to guide you and direct you wherever you need to go, wherever you need to be, whatever you're looking for, to support you in knowing that you're already there, to remind you that you it, so no need to search, to remind you that it's already done, so you can ease up on the doing and allow yourself to just be. What does that look like? What do you feel like being right now? What do you think is missing in your life? Whatever you think is missing or is present is a state of mind. It's a state of consciousness. Be it. Be joyful. Be healthy. Even with what's going on, you can choose differently. And to bring on Celeste Shante Morgan, the church lady, who's going to do the announcement. Hello, Celeste.
Hi, Life Coach today. I'm so excited to have Reverend Deborah Johnson join us. What an amazing time we're going to have. We got Sweet Tea from D.C., a la Tanya on the phone lines, and I see Mother Wit and a whole bunch of guests that I don't know, but you can always sign in to Blog Talk Radio. You can use a fake name. Something to get to your announcements. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you and all the elements of nature joining this conversation to remind us that our truth is living in the truth of Plentitude. Don't get blown away, though.
Don't say seagull. Okay. Hello, family.
Hold on, hold on. Well, hold on. Wait, hold on. Is there a way of getting somewhere else? Because we've got some noise coming through. I think it's the wind, actually.
Is it really? Okay, I can see if I can go back to where I was. You're going to have some music in the background, if that's okay.
Well, you just you know how they do the news when there's a storm. It's like, all right, Celeste, you take care of yourself now. We'll come back to you in a minute.
I'll work it out. I will work it out. You know, life is shifting with me, and I'm getting to embrace a sacred life. So I'm not where I usually used to be, but I'm not the same person I used to be either. And I've got a perfect song to do the announcements with. How does that sound, Life Coach today?
You're on the road. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next?
Okay, just give a shout-out to music. Love, it's in the background. So let's rock and roll these announcements. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find our favorite metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today and our wonderful guest, Reverend Deborah Johnson, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Just please be sure to create a new posting because we want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. If there's a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show, you can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of November is living from a consciousness of plenitude. And we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to offer you some soul food for your consciousness. Make sure you join him for your power lunch. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safara for the Play Experience every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month. Be sure to join me as well for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Did you know? Oh, for more information about these shows, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. I want to make sure you know where to go. Now, did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to inspirebroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the sounds of soul with the day in the Peloche on 1-2 Radio. It's a musical show featuring music you can taste and music that will bring you back to who you are. Get ready for some soul, R&B, and much more every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you on 1-2Radio.com. And if you missed the show on Saturday, you can catch a rebroadcast this upcoming Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on 1-2Radio.com. Finally, we have a special treat for you. For a donation of $5 or more to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, we will send you a brand new hot off the presses MP3 guided meditation done by our very own Life Coach Today. Say yes to your good.
I'm using it regularly, and I'm getting in alignment with my guests. So to make a donation and check out the experience for yourself, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, then hover, don't click on the Life Conversations Radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side, or you can go to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and or the Life Conversations Radio fan like pages and click the donate button. We thank you in advance, family, for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your musical announcement. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today. Hey, Life Coach Today.
You had a lot of music behind you.
I know, and guess what's playing now?
What's playing now?
You can't hear it. It's actually lower than music. But your spiritual life is on, and we are all ready for love.
I am
India
ready.
Ari.
For love, yeah. I am too.
All right, my friend. Thank you for your patience, family.
Well, thank you for doing what you do and teaching us how to stay focused in the midst of noise and distractions.
Indeed.
You did it so well.
Well,
all
thank
right,
you,
talk
sir.
To you later. You're
oh,
welcome.
Hey, hey, hey,
yes.
Spiritual nurse. She caught us right now. And I think this is New Jace. Welcome in the chat room. I'll be there to play with you real soon.
Jace, New Jersey and spiritual nurse said, I'm going to be here on time.
I know, right? Okay, I'll see you around one.
See you around one. yes, life is good. It's getting better. We welcome all of you. Thank you, those of you who are listening on the phone lines, those of you listening online, and those of you listening to the archive. Thank you. Thank you all for tuning in. And, of course, we can't forget our Within Radio listeners and the new listeners, all of you. You know, you're family, really. You're the universal family. We are one. We're one in spirit, one in love. We need each other. And thank you all, spiritual nurse, New Jays, Mother Wit, Wisdom, silent listeners, disguised as guests, Tanya. Those of you who are listening on the DL, and then I was listening to the show. Yeah, it was a great show. I'm like, really? I don't know. I don't know what I think. People tell me to listen to my show. I'm like, really? You listen to my show? Yeah. You're a mess. I'm like, oh, gosh. So, hello. People are listening. we are taking your call, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. I'm saying that number, and it didn't sound like it was correct. I had to check it. So right now, Reverend Deborah is going to be joining us real soon, so just be patient, because every now and then I hear people say, well, they just wanted to hear the interview. I was just waiting to hear my daughter. I just waited to hear my husband. But this is a radio show. So we got to do what we do. But I understand, because if I went somewhere, if I go to a concert is the best way for me to look at it. If I went to a concert and I wanted to see somebody, unless the supporting act is awesome, other than that, I want to see who I came to see. So I get it. I understand. But let's all dance together, because you never know where your blessings is going to come from. Just when you think it's going to come through that door right there because it's wide open, it comes through your roof that's leaking. Like, where am I going to get the money from to fix this roof? And yes, you should, Celeste. And God says, listen, I got you. I am your shepherd. You are living from a space and place of plenitude. You've just forgotten. Watch me show out. And then you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Why did this happen? I can't afford this. And then the miracle happens. And then it's like, oh, my God, God is so good. Girl, let me tell you, I'll get a testimony. Don't trip. No need to trip when you can trust. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And we waiting, ready for, Celeste, did you press 1 for a reason? Let's go to Celeste since you press 1. But, you know, technology does interesting stuff. Celeste, did you just press 1? Hello? No, I guess you didn't. Say, technology is messing with me. I'm paying attention. Oh, what happened? We lost her. Okay, let's try this. You know what we're going to do? As we get ready for Reverend Deborah, I want to remind you, Celeste told you already, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, disagreements,
disbelief, post it on their land pages. If you're listening for the first time, what I call the land pages is, you know, we have two pages. There's the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show page, and there's the Life Conversations Radio page. It used to be called, what is it, fan page, right? Now it's called Like Page. Actually, they probably don't even call it anything like that now. But I just call it a land page. So it's like and fan put together. Yeah? Yeah, like and fan. So you can post your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the land pages. And it's easy for us to get to. Some of you sometimes post in a chat room. That's fine. And it's also even just as yummy if you call in 347-426-3346. My spiritual midwife is here, my spiritual mentor. I am excited. So y'all, listen, y'all need to have me behave myself now because my spiritual midwife is here. She knows me. She knows me sometimes more than I know myself. When I try to hide, she calls me out. We're talking about a consciousness of plentitude, and Reverend Deborah is in the house. Rev D is in the house. I want to play a little bit of this song because it's all in alignment with what we're talking about. And I tell you, I love songs. I love music because it's a prayer. And I have a friend saying, why'd you play all that music? Because I want to. I choose to. Resurrect me. This is Valerie Joy. Song written by Reverend Deborah and Valerie Joy. Resurrect me so I can know the consciousness of plentitude. Give up the fight, the struggle. All right, I'm here. It's multitasking. I'm going to have this song underneath me because we're all getting ready to resurrect. And it's not a one-time thing. It's ongoing. Every day, every moment, we are made new.
And it's even better when we do it willingly, consciously. Let me read a little bit about Reverend Deborah Johnson. Reverend Deborah L. Johnson is the founding minister and president of Inner Light Ministry, an omni-faith outreach ministry dedicated to teaching the practical application of universal spiritual principles to all of life's circumstances. And she does that so very well. She holds a vision of oneness beyond creed and doctrine and feels particularly called to heal the sense of separation between those adhering to conservative and progressive ideology. She is the founder and the president of the Motivational Institute, an organizational development consulting firm specializing in cultural diversity, serving the public, private, and nonprofit sectors. As a dynamic public speaker, she is known for her ability to bring clarity to complex and emotional charge issues. And that's exactly what I was thinking about her today. Wherever she goes, her message is always one of possibility, inclusion, empowerment, and transformation. She is the author of The Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent. And if you don't have any of those copies, I'm just going to say you're missing out. Missing out of what? Go get a copy and you'll find out. A lot of my listeners have picked up the book and told me I love the book. She is my spiritual midwife. She's my spiritual mentor. Her website address, website address is this too. For the church, the ministry, it is innerlightministries.com, innerlightministries.com. And her personal website is Deborah with an H, deborahjohnson.org. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my spiritual midwife, my spiritual mentor, a visionary, Rev D. Hello, Reverend D. How are you doing?
Who are you talking about? I want to meet her.
Yes, she is amazing. I'm talking to her.
Who are you talking about?
I be talking about you, boo.
How you doing, my brother?
I am good. You know, when I think about you, it's you, your essence, who you are to me and on this planet, and I know others that know you. You have a way of just bringing light. And I was reading your bio a little bit about it, and that's what I thought of. You have a way of breaking down concepts that seem complicated, and then when you drop it, it's kind of like, duh, I knew that. Yes, of course, that makes sense. And I'm grateful for who you are. I'm grateful for this conversation that's unfolding. And thank you for the work you're doing on this planet.
My pleasure.
And I got to ask you this question. You know I got to ask because we got some things to cover. I just want to marinate in your consciousness, and so do the listeners. So let me ask you this question first. Who are you? Who is Reverend Deborah Johnson?
You know, I believe you asked me that the last time I was on this program.
Hey, every day is a new moment.
Because I'm having this deja vu moment. And I don't know what I said then, but I would imagine it might be similar. That to me, everything is in the framing, because the framing really determines what it is that you see. Reverend Deborah L. Johnson is, and I'm always trying to figure out, like, who she is and what is her calling and why is she here. Most especially, I usually spend more of my time trying to figure out how I can fill her shoes. because it feels like the life that God has for this Reverend Deborah L. Johnson character is a little bit more than what my my little persona is up to doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yet I know that there's something within me that's nameless that existed before there was a Reverend Deborah that is trying desperately just to be all that it can be. And the more that I kind of fill those shoes of whatever Reverend Deborah is supposed to be, I think the more that authentic me that's trying to be there, you know, comes out. At the heart of it, I would say that Reverend Deborah is a prophet, and that's part of what you were just speaking to, and it's taken me a long time to figure out exactly what that means. I used to think that a prophet was a fortune teller, somebody that kind of sees the future. But no, the prophet is one who's been given the gift of seeing is and being able to connect the dots in such a way as to be able to discern the trajectory from that point, you know, how it sort of all comes together. I used to complain to God that, you know, why do you want me to write? Why do you want me to speak? It seems like anything that's ever been said needs to be said. It's already been said by somebody somewhere. You know, why do you need me to do this, you know, again?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't feel like I was given anything, you know, particularly brilliant. It all just seemed obvious. And the spirit voice saying, but therein is the genius. The genius is the one who makes the obvious apparent that's right underneath everybody's noses, but they're just simply missing.
Yes.
And I'd say, you know, that's really fundamentally what I'm about, is just the student of life and being able to name it and articulate it, because there's a poet in me. You know, and the poet always says what is on the rest of our minds.
You know, as you said, there's a poet in you. It reminded me of your alter ego. Oh, I don't know if you could call
Wilhelmina. I just did
really?
Wilhelmina a couple of Sundays ago.
Maybe she'll come out to play later or something. But whenever she wants to come out, I'm not going to get in the way, because she's strong. She don't take no mess.
I could do some Wilhelmina.
let's jump into this conversation. I've got some questions here, but before we go into the questions that just got emailed to me, places I want to go, and I was watching the lesson sermon you did this past Sunday, and what struck me, well, the title was Never Too Late for a Healing.
That's
but one of the things that you said, say that again?
I said that's our theme this month.
Oh, okay.
Never too late for healing.
Never too late for healing. Yes. And what struck me was the idea of, you said, the way forward requires us to go back.
Yeah.
And I had to sit with that for a minute. It's like, wow, that is so true. Of course, you used several example analogies. And I started to think of our conversation today, you know, a consciousness of plentitude. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And then I thought, you know, so this idea, this consciousness, this truth, this reality that we already live in plentitude, it's really about going back. Now, what I want you to do before we even go deeper is I want you to hear how what you have to say about a consciousness of plentitude, your definition, your thoughts, or whatever is bubbling up for you around that before we even go a little bit more deeper.
Yeah. Plentitude is not a qualitative number. It's a qualitative state, which I think it's good that you refer to it as a consciousness of plentitude, because it's a perspective.
Yes.
And most of us are busy trying to chase something external But unless we have an internal vibratory pattern of enoughness, there will never be enough external things that we could accumulate to generate that sense of plenty within us. So the consciousness of plentitude is this awareness that never has there been a cosmic famine. It's this awareness that there is enough, that the universe operates in sufficiency, and that our needs are, in fact, provided for. There's no need to be in fear. There's no need to be in desperation, that there really is enough. There really is enough. We don't have a supply problem in the world. If anything, we have a distribution problem. But we don't have a supply problem. It's all here. It's all here. Matter is neither created nor destroyed. It only changes form. Everything that we need is here. The fundamental building blocks and whatnot are already here. And unfortunately, it is that scarcity mentality. It's the sense of lack and limitation, the sense of being separate from something, separate from our good, separate from each other, separate from our health, whatever. That is the root of all of our ills and all of our problems. That sense of separation. The Buddhists say it's attachment. But that's just flip sides of the same coin. We become attached to certain things because we're afraid that if we don't have it, we'll experience that separation. We'll experience that emptiness. So we attach to things to try to avoid that sense of that emptiness. But it's just flip sides of the same coin.
What's going on in my head as I listen to you, it's almost, I'm sort of listening to you like I'm coming into this conversation, this thing called truth, for the first time, and I'm hungry and willing. I want to learn something different. And as I listen from that space, I find myself thinking, okay, if we are one with all there is, that there isn't any separation, how is it that my thought of separation, my thought of lack, actually causes me to experience the lack and separation? I'm already one. How come I'm not experiencing the plentitude that you're talking about? If someone says, well, I'm struggling to pay my rent. You know, I know in the spiritual community goodness is here, but I'm struggling.
No, but see, experience is not the conditions that you find yourself in. Condition, your experience is your narrative. Your experience is how you define. Take the exact same 10 people in the exact same project or the exact same apartment complex, all struggling to pay their rent. But the life experience of each of them may be really different. For one struggling to pay the rent, it may be, you know, oh, man, you know, the wolf's at the door and the creditor's in, you know, and how am I going to make it? And you know, life's a struggle and whatnot. And the next door neighbor is like, no, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent, you know, but my sister's sick and I need to take her in right now because she needs a little bit of help. And no, I don't really know how I'm going to make it, but I know that God will provide. And I'm going to bring her in here, and I'm going to sleep tonight. Okay. Both of them up against the rent. But it's a perspective. It's a narrative. I see this so much in the prison work that I do. I go deep into the prisons. And I've learned what true freedom is from people incarcerated for lies. And, yeah, they're locked up. Like, they're equally locked up. But the experience is completely different. We get to name what it is that we're going through. And the fact of the matter is that if you have a roof over your head, 3 meals a day, a bed to sleep in, you are better off than 83% of the people on the whole planet. And I'm saying that to say that even what we consider lack or not enough is relative.
Right.
You know, we're whining and complaining, the 1%, when to the rest of the world, we here in the United States are the 1%.
Say that again. Yes.
We are the 1% with our cars and our houses and our super grocery stores and all the rest of it. And just like we're looking to the 1% to wake up, they're looking to us to wake up. They're like, why are you spending all that money on gadgets? You know, on iPhones and you know, billions of dollars on your cosmetics and shooting hoops and all the rest of this. Just what you spent on sports and entertainment could keep the rest of us from dying. And we complain that we can't pay the rent. It is all your experience. Is your perspective. Now, the piece of this that you said is true, which is, it is done unto you as you believe. Whatever you think. So there are people around the world who, by our economic standards, are terribly impoverished, but are experiencing a life of plentitude that those of us with more money don't have. Because it's not about the money. It's about an inner sense of well-being. And the reason why it's going back, a more proper way to look at it might be that everything is cyclical. See, everything in the universe is regenerative. The cells, the plants, everything cycles and it recycles. Okay, it's just like we ingest, we digest, we assimilate, we eliminate, and it's just that we inhale, we bring it in, we exhale, we bring it out. You know, the tide comes in, you know, and the tide goes out. There's this constant process. There's this constant birthing, constant, you know, release, that with every death there's a birth, with every birth there's a death, when I say the framing is the problem here, is that we live in a Western civilization that has convinced us that things are linear, that life is linear, but there's nothing linear about life. Even what we consider to be a linear progression, like, for example, from 1 year to the next to the next. It isn't just 1 year to the next to the next. It's January, February, March, April, May, June, January, February, you know, spring, fall, winter, you know, repeated over and over and over and over again, you know, within each week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, within each day, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. You know, it's like this constant cycles of repeating. So in order for things to be regenerative, it can't just be always going out. It has to go back to source, so to speak, to replenish. You take a plant, and yeah, a plant is growing up, but the reason why it's able to grow up is because it has roots still going down. It's still getting nutrients, and it's still getting sustenance from its beginnings. If you separate the plant away from its roots, you know, its places of original nourishment, it's going to die. I don't care how many limbs it's got going on up there. And we keep thinking that our health and the answer to everything is next. Next ain't on the GPS. You know, next is not a destination. It's deeper. You know, the answer is deeper. The answer is being recharged. You know, I don't mean to go on and on about this, but in the same sermon. Interestingly enough, that I was talking about this very same thing that I did with Wilhelmina, and if I'm not mistaken, it was that very same sermon that Resurrect Me was played. And I told the story of writing that particular song that you played in the beginning. And I was sharing with them how I had spoken earlier that week to an advanced placement class. I don't know if they do that all around the country, but here in California, there are certain students in high school that are allowed to take college classes on their high school campuses. And I had been come in to teach at this one high school, and they named it as the intersection of religion / spirituality and the environment. And I was sharing with them that the problem was in that framing itself. And I won't go into all that now unless there's time for that later. But at some point in the conversation, I said that the answers forward are back. And this young man challenged me. And he said, well, with all our new technologies and whatnot, you know, wouldn't you think that, you know, we'd be going forward? I said, yes, with all the technologies, new technologies are taking us back. All the good environmental strategies being developed now are taking us back to work in more harmony with the way that nature works. It's trying to be cooperative. It's moving away from this domination. We're going to manipulate. We're going to intervene. We're going to make it, you know, the water go the way we want it to go. And the, you know, no. How does the earth regenerate? Where does power come from? What are all of the untapped sources of energy that are already here? Without trying to cook some stuff up, without trying to engineer it in the laboratory. You know, and he suddenly got it. I said, we're in our efforts forward, we're trying to go back. Back to the beginning. Back to what's natural. Back to what works. Back to what is sustaining. That's where the plentitude is. The source of regeneration itself.
Back to the beginning, and you brought some clarity for me, because I'm always thinking about, you know, if we're talking about young people or just humanity, generally I've heard people saying, we got to go back to how things used to be. You know, back in the day, every generation always says back in the day things were better. And I'm thinking, well, if back in the day things were better, how come we haven't perfected it now? But what you're sharing now, you know, even though I would say that when we're saying going back on an intellectual level, we may be thinking at a certain time in space. You know, it's like, in the 60s. But really,
that's not what I'm talking about.
Right, exactly. You're talking about going back to the beginning, the natural order of life.
Right.
Cooperation, where we support each other. It's just part of life. Nature is a good example of that. So the going back is us remembering who we really are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you know what's ironic? I'm a student of revolutions. Every revolution is an effort to go back. No matter how much we think of it as a forward motion, it's trying to go before things got off balance, go back before the restraints, go back before the constraints. I don't care whether it's a political revolution or an artistic revolution or a scientific revolution. It's like it's shaking off the coils of restriction and trying to go back to something that's more natural. You get you get a jazz revolution saying, you know, let's just get rid of this tight structured stuff here, you know? let's get back to some spontaneous, you know, expression. You know, you have a feminist revolution and whatnot, it's like, hey, let's get back. You know, let's get back to the time when people could flourish. When they were free, and you know, forgive me for going here on your show because I know I'm about to blow up your blow up.
No, you're good.
I'm about to blow up your switchboard. But
go ahead.
If you take every revolution, part of it is that reclaiming the places where we've been. So say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. You know, why are we fighting over the word black? We're fighting over because we were colonized in our minds to think that anything from Africa was inferior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was that? This is where it's about to blow up even that word lesbian. You know, I remember back in the day when we were saying, hey, you know, we need to refer to ourselves as a gay and lesbian movement, and I can talk about where gay came from, and it's like this wasn't about sexuality. It had nothing to do with sexuality. It was the exact same thing as with Africa. Lesbian just meant from the Isle of Lesbos. Back in the day of Aristotle and Plato, they weren't homophobic, but they were extremely sexist. So women were not allowed in the arts. They were not in Romeo and Juliet. Juliet was played by a young boy, and you know they didn't allow it. So what ended up happening is that the sculptors and the poets and whatnot, they were being exiled to this Greek island called Lesbos. After a while, the women started flocking there, and the Isle of Lesbos was this jamming island. The women from there were known as lesbians from this island of Lesbos.
Wow.
It was this jamming island of sculptors and artists and poets and writers and musicians and dancers and all the rest of this kind of stuff. And we were like, hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. It's a cultural term. It ain't even a sexual thing. It's a cultural term to say, yeah, what's so wrong from being from there? Like, we'll have some. It's like we'll have some of that. It's
right.
It's always it's the back that I'm talking about is going back. So I was telling in my sermon, I said, you know, we talk about the Bible and the subjugation of women, and what I said, my name is Deborah. My name is Deborah. I said, you know who Deborah was in the Bible? I said, Deborah was a general. Deborah was a judge. Deborah was a prophet. Deborah was a bad woman.
But she's you.
Deborah was tough. There wasn't no subjugation patriarchal wasn't that over her. You know who her captain was? Barack. Don't you love it?
Wow. Talk about going back.
Yeah,
talk
like
about going back.
It's like go back before the colonization. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Go back before we forgot. Go back before the shame. All of us have really, really indigenous ancestors. Everybody does. What did they know about living in harmony with the earth? What did they know about living in community? What did they know about their being part of the universe and part of God? We're in a spiritual crisis. We have forgotten who we are. And you can't solve a problem with the same consciousness that created it. So if I'm in fear, I can't solve the problem with more fear. We've forgotten our connection to one another. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten what we are. And our power is going to be awakening up from that amnesia. It's inside. It's not outside. We've been waiting for something to give us the permission to feel differently about ourselves. No. You change your concept. You change your perception, and the outer world then shifts to reflect that.
And you said something in your sermon on Saturday, Sunday that I had to write down. You said judgment of what happened is what keeps us away from our power.
Yes.
Hmm.
Absolutely. It's not what happened. It's the staying stuck in the judgment of what happened, which is why forgiveness is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because forgiveness liberates you. Forgiveness shifts your relationship to what happened so that you are no longer living under its karmic effect. Now, forgiveness allows you to go on with your business.
Yes.
And remember your power.
Yes.
Because as long as you're we can be victimized, But that doesn't mean that we have to assume the role of a victim. You know, Nelson Mandela was incarcerated at age 47 for life. You know, and he and his cohort spent 27 years in prison, moving lime rocks, back and forth, back and forth. But you know what also they were doing? They were writing the new South African Constitution. While they were moving those rocks. It's just all perception.
Yes. I think I'm going to just let that. So we're going to take a break. I got so many questions. You're adding more to questions I have. My mind is just like, my brain is spinning. It's spinning. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to continue the conversation. Actually, let's see. We'll take a break. Do a celestial moment and continue the conversation. I want to, when we come back, Revdi, I want to talk about, you know, this. You talked about the inner sense of well-being.
Yes.
And I actually, you know what, I'm going to wait, because by the time we come back, all kind of other stuff may have popped up. But we're going to talk about this inner sense of well-being and cooperation, and I want to tie together with the spiritual crisis. So we're going to take a break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Reverend Deborah Johnson. She's a visionary, a prophet, a teacher, a lover of humanity, and truly a healer. Because she raises your vibration, that you may remember who you are. And to find out more about her work, you can go to our websites as deborahjohnson.org, and then there is the other one, innerlightministries.com. That's for the church, of course, innerlightministries.com. And to find out about the other work that she does is deborahjohnson.org. She's the author of Sacred Yes and Your Deepest Intent. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad, or you can post your questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, disbelief. You can post it on the land pages, the like page or fan pages, Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show, or the Life Conversations Radio page. This is the House of Love. We are here to support you on your transformation journey. So whatever you're moving through, we got you. No need to trip. It's time to trust. We'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hudson, founder of 12radio.com. And I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
To find out more information about the sponsorship package, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Many blessings to you, Jack Armstrong. Thank you very much. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. I am your host, Ade. Life Coach Ade, Ade, and if I wish it, I am that I am. And we're here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. I almost said 2:30 there. No. 12 to 2 p.m. I'm not listening, whoever's trying to extend the show. 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived, so if you miss any part of the show, today's show or past shows, you can always go back. And you can subscribe on iTunes. And when you get to iTunes, just type Life Conversations, and all the shows will automatically download on your computers. That's what I said, computers. And all the other gadgets that we have, your iPhone, iThis, iThat, I don't care what it is. Just subscribe to Life Conversations Radio and change your life. That's right. I said it. Oh, Lord, I sure got a lot of mouth behind this mic. Well, what's a mic without mouth? It's just going to be silent. We don't have time for that. Let's bring on Celeste. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm really good, but I need to speak to Reverend Deborah Johnson really quick. Just quick. I just
tell you I'm going to be good. You need to be able to get okay. All right. I'm going
to
mute
talk
Reverend.
To Reverend real quick, please.
Okay.
Reverend Deborah Johnson, while I love you so much, I'm sitting here. You took my brain. You're such a storyteller. I said, I know she didn't just sit up here and James Brown us with I'm black and I'm proud and then turned around and talked about the Isle of Lesbos with Sappho and then took us to Shakespeare and then had the nerve to bring in the Bible with Deborah and Barack. How bad are you? And how much do we need strong sisters who can pull all of that hip-hop, all of that classical history and the funk together? You bring people to Christ. That's all I got to say to you. I love you.
No,
so
that's
much.
Right.
I love you. I hope I'm as bad as you. And not even like you, but can pull from that energy of being true to who I am to see the reflection and say, yeah, that's what I want to be. I'm already grown, but I feel like I'm growing up every time I hear you. So thank you from the bottom. From the bottom, like Sammy Davis Jr. used to say, from the bottom, I mean that. Okay.
You know what? We're all standing on the shoulders of somebody. One of the shoulders that I stand on is a sister, Audre Lorde,
who
was an African-American out poet, lesbian poet. Actually, she's a poet laureate of the state of New York.
Yeah.
And there's a quote of hers that was given to me as a gift. It's done in watercolor calligraphy. It's very beautiful. It's in my bedroom now, in my new place. It hung in my dining room for like 14, 15 years. And somebody just found me that quote on top of her photo, really large, and it's hanging now in my center. And it says, "When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength, in the service of my vision, it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid." I'm going to say it again. When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid. And I tell you, that Reverend Troy Perry's first book, he started Metropolitan Community Church, actually never read the book, but I was with him around there in L.A. at the time, back in the early 70s. It said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay. There was a line. There was a line in For Colored Girls, the real For Colored Girls. Sorry,
you know,
Tyler, I love you, but you messed up, Colored Girls. And at the end, this little Pentecostal girl, me, it said, I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely. Oh, it was over. Woo! The Lord is my shepherd. He knows I'm gay. I found God in myself, and I loved her fiercely. Oh, I'm telling you, that was just like freshman time or whatnot. It's just over. And it's to say that there have been so many people whose courage and strength and whatever, you know, have influenced me. And, you know, that's what Maya says. You know, when you learn, teach. You know, when you get something, share it. It's just like the plenitude. It's all about passing it on.
Thank you so much for yet more affirmative gems. All of the people I am familiar with got a women's studies background. So this, speaking of power and the way you speak truth to power, this celestial moment is definitely for you. So I'm going to get right to it. Okay, I hope you can hear me where I am. And I'm so glad you introduced me to Reverend Deborah Johnson, because I wouldn't know her without you, brother. So thank you so much.
Hey, listen, this is about cooperation. It's about plenitude. I can't keep Reverend Deborah to myself. I can't anyway, period. It's just not possible.
I'm so
glad
you don't. All right,
I'm
going to get
you. You just said something, Celeste, that's sitting with me. Speaking truth to power.
Yes.
You know, and I've heard that, you know, before, and that spirit voice just went at me as soon as you said that, said, and you must also speak power to truth. And that is what you need, all of you need to do more of, is speak power to truth.
Getting the index card right now.
Get the index card. My tears are confirming. That was for me. I hear you. I can't wait to hug you in person. But feel it here. I'm going to get through this. And family, just, hey, thank you for this moment. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and I trust that you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 9. 9 is the end of the cycle. It's about completion. 9's ruling planet is the feisty, fiery warrior planet of Mars. And 9 is also the sacred number of my favorite Orisha. Oh, yeah, the goddess of change, winds, and transformation. 9 also makes an appearance as the hermit in tarot, which is the wayshower or the pathfinder. The hermit gets still to listen deeply to the inner voice and shows us through his actions what he has learned on the journey. We also get to experience the number 9 of the butterfly in medicine cards, and the butterfly's gift is transformation.
Celeste.
Yep. Yes.
Celeste. Is something going on with you over there with your phone? I don't know if you're channeling some ancestors, but I don't know if you can do something to your phone so we can hear you clearly.
I haven't moved, and I'm right
that
here.
Sounds
right
better
next
now.
Is that better?
It sounds better now. I think they just wanted us to recognize them. Okay. Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, you know we don't play like that. It's absolutely true. Now, today for a special treat, and what I really don't want you to miss, is that we're going to put the spotlight on the dragonfly of the medicine cards. Its number is not 9. It's actually 27. But when you add 2 + 7, you get 9. So here we go. Dragonfly breaks illusions, brings visions of power. No need to prove it. Now is the hour. Know it. Believe it. Great spirit intercedes, feeding you,
blessing you, filling all your needs. The story goes that the dragonfly was once a big dragon who was tricked to prove its power and magical prowess by the coyote. I bet you can't change your form, the coyote probably taunted. I bet you can't make yourself real small and still fly, the coyote starts giggling. Then the dragon flew high and made itself what we see today. The dragon needed to trust its knowing instead of showing off. We lose the game before we even get to play if we have to prove anything to anyone. When a dragonfly appears in your life, it is asking you, have you been watering your own plant? Or are you caught up in illusionary games of competition? If you keep playing bumper cars with other people's lives, then you are not working with healthy boundaries, and you just might find yourself turning into a false version of you. Don't let the coyote disguise his tricks and challenges catch you off guard. Follow your heart. Set your lines of demarcation by going within and trust that the best in you is always shining through. No need to prove it. All is well. And that's the story of Nine, to our friend the dragonfly with the medicine cards. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Celeste. I just love it. With all...
Thank you, Celeste.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now, you know what I'm about to say.
Go ahead.
I'm laughing over here, too.
You know,
go ahead.
You know what my birthday is.
I keep forgetting. It's
tonight.
January 9th.
Wow.
I get you every time. I love
the
it.
The 9th. February 9th.
February 9th. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
And you know, 27 ain't but 3 9s.
Hey.
That's right.
Play that number game. See, it was supposed to be dedicated to you, February 9th. That is beautiful. Thank you for confirming the gift of synchronicity, because here we are. I appreciate you so much, Reverend Deborah.
Likewise.
Okay, you can have her back now a day.
I'm just marinating in this goodness. I mean, I'm just kind of like slowing myself down and forget, you know, paying attention to what I want to ask, but just basking and speaking power to truth. You know, I'm that's why I said earlier, I'm not even going to tell you what we're going to say when we come back, because something else will bubble up, and here it is. I just have to ask you. What does that mean? Because, you know, we can feel, I know I did, I felt the power of that statement. But what does it mean when it comes to actually putting that into practice, where it goes beyond just a mental gymnastics, if you will?
Yeah. Well, if I can go back to what I was saying about Audre Lorde, part of what I loved about that quote was the way she defined power. Using our strength in the service of our vision.
Hmm.
So if you think about your life, and if you would, excuse me, sometimes I really think about my life and my energy as sort of units of energy. We get this idea sometimes that I can hold on to resentment and bitterness and be tired and weary and worn and all the rest of that, and then somehow get some other energy to do my vision. It's not like that.
Okay.
You take you with you wherever you go. Mm. So it becomes a question of how do we spend our energy?
Mm.
How do we use our power? And as we started off this conversation, our word is power. Word, Greek, logos, the logos. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning is the power of the conceptualization out of which everything comes. So what I've learned to do now is to look and say, what am I empowering? What am I enabling? You know, in Scripture, it says we were... the breath of life was breathed into us, the nefesh. Okay? And that's what we're doing. With our every word, We are breathing life into things. Strength is empowering. We are enabling at every moment of the day. So if we just think about for a moment, what are we enabling? What are we declaring to be true? How is our strength spent this day? How is it spent? And I make a difference between my little personal truth and like the truth with the big T, which comes up a lot in my prophetic series, Letters from the Infinite. You know, both volumes, but particularly in the sacred, the first volume. There's even a letter that says, you know, personal truth, you know, versus spiritual truth. You know, that personal truth is that place of your persona, where your personal truth is sort of your place of authenticity and, you know, how you genuinely think about things and blah, blah, blah. But then there's the truth that trumps all of that with the big T. And I love the way that my mentor, Reverend Michael Beckwith, puts it. There are at least two sides to every story, and then there's the truth.
That's right.
And at some point, you got to make up your mind whether you want to be, like, right in your little T or whether you want the truth. Because you can be right all by yourself. but the big T, truth is inclusive. That truth is redemptive. That truth always has a win-win for everybody. That truth is big enough. Yeah, I can hear my mother now talking about the blood. You know, that would be her way of describing it. That, you know, that the blood of Jesus is big enough for everybody. That there's a place that exists where we are so connected, we are so interdependent with one another. So to me, the practical way in which I use this is that how am I using my power? And have I shirked those places where I know that there's something bigger? Those places where I know, have I spoken it? And I'm about to do it right now, as a matter of fact. I'm on board of directors of a particular group, and there's been a certain something that's been going on for a very long time. And I'm fairly new on that board, always like rattling feathers, you know, if you don't with that page is better, you know, with my perspectives and whatnot. And I've been, you know, too self-conscious and, you know, wanting to be accepted and, you know, all the rest of that. And there's this, just a certain something that's just core. And everything in me says I have to speak. I have to say something about this. And this speaking power to truth means taking risks. Because, you know, everybody don't like the truth. They don't. Because everything's a narrative, because everything's a perspective, it is like we're hypnotized by our own movies. Our narrative become our drama. Okay? So we are paying with psychic coin. We're just like with the movies. It's flat, one-dimensional, and we crying, we laughing, we getting mad, we getting scared, and it ain't even happening. Ain't even real. It's just some light on the screen, and we are caught up. Pay money to be scared. Pay money to get angry. Oh, and don't let somebody come and flick the light on. How dare you come? I'm enjoying this illusion. I'm caught up in this illusion. How dare you turn on the light and destroy my movie? And that's how it is in life. Coming attraction. Hey, number one at the box office. You know, we all into this movie right now. How dare you come and turn on the light? Don't tell me it's not real. Don't tell me that's just Denzel. Don't tell me.
I love my fantasy.
Yeah, don't tell me none of that happened. And it does. It means we're going to have to awaken.
Yes.
I want to. And awakening is not, it's not fun.
Go ahead.
It's, right. It's, awakening is not fun. It's not pretty.
I want to tie the awakening to the question that's been kind of lingering. When you talk about an inner sense of well-being and living from a consciousness of plentitude, mm-hmm. how do we move? Because there's a tendency sometimes to just focus on me, getting my life together, getting my love together, getting my money together, and I know I am the one, so if I get – and then we ignore the others. And we know that you talked about cooperation earlier. How do we use this insight, this awareness, this wisdom you're sharing with us to develop a consciousness of cooperation where we can reach out to our brothers and sisters and we all experience plentitude rather than, now I just got to take care of myself. Because, hey, nobody's taking care of me, and, you know, the government is not taking care of me. My parents are not taking care of me. How do we find balance? How do we create a consciousness or develop the consciousness of plentitude to be able to extend it outward?
I'm going to come at this just slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the way of referring it to plentitude can still feel like it's an external reference. The issue for us is not there is enough. The issue is I am enough. I am enough. There's a way in which we begin to identify with what we have. So if I think I don't have enough, that translates to I am not enough. And we have to be particularly careful about this. I keep talking about like our Western minds and all the rest of that. We have been colonized. And the English language in particular is a language developed for colonization.
Oh.
The English language did not exist in the time of Jesus. And the structure of the language itself always sends you to an end game. Hebrew, for example, in the version of Hebrew that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, it's very rich. It's layered. It's textured. Every word has gender. Every word has a numerology. Every word is a picture as well. So it's kind of like a hieroglyphic with combinations of different things. And it is designed as a mystery that you don't get from just cognitive understanding. You're going to get there through your visions and your dreams. And there was never the sense that you would ever have the final answer, that you keep studying and studying, and that there was always going to be greater and higher revelation. Not so in the English language. In the English language, we make everything so cut, dry, right, wrong, black, white, in this kind of way, linear, nothing's mystical, there are no visions, there are no dreams, you don't learn anything. There's no intuitive learning. Everything's just like cognitive. And there's this particular way, the way the English language is structured. And I know this seems like a long answer, but it's really, really important. In the English language, we would say, in terms of our verbs of being, we don't make distinctions. In Spanish, for example, there are distinctions. In English, we would say, I am hungry, I am poor, I am 20 years old. But Spanish wouldn't do that. They make a distinction. There are verbs of being, which is stuff that's not going to change, and then there's verbs of being, which are circumstantial and conditional and will change. And their verb of being for that is tener, their verb of being, like it just is ser. So let's say, for example, if I were to say I'm a person, I would use their verb ser, because that's not going to change. Yo ser una persona. I am a person. But you would never say yo ser some age. It would be tener. It would be I have 20 years. Not I am 20 years old. It would be tengo 20 años. I have 20 years. You would never in Spanish say yo soy hombre, like I am hungry, like hungry is what I am. It would be I have hunger. Tengo hambre. I just have it. I'm not it. I just have it. But in the English language, we don't make that distinction. So we identify with what we have. And we can't make the distinction in our mind then between what's just a circumstantial condition that's going through that happens to be, you know, in my sphere right now as part of my outer experience versus what's me that's immutable and unchangeable. Our language makes the transitory permanent. Our language makes it us. I am hurt. I am hungry. I am poor. I am 50. I am this. I am that. And that wears on the psyche. As opposed to, no, I'm a spiritual being, and I happen to be going through this right now. It allows us, we need to take some of that stuff that's just the verbal constant being in our mind and see it for what it really is. It's stuff that's coming and going. But in our language, we make it who we are. And that's why I say it's a language of colonization. Because it makes you think that you are no more than what you have. You are what you have. So it becomes this caste system, this class system. So if you don't have a lot, you are not a lot. And if you do have a lot, you are a lot. So we mentally oppress our own selves. Then we have internalized oppression. We don't strive to be more because I'm not. I've already accepted that as my identity. There's no challenge anymore. Will we allow the status quo, whatever condition it is that exists, to be the final definition? Isn't that convenient? if you want to keep people down.
Yes.
So this we have to this idea of the plentitude then. If we're still thinking of it as some sort of the external, that when I get some more, that will give me permission to see myself as more. That's where the trip loop comes. I have to get it out there, and then once I have it, I can change my mind about who I think I am. When I get the relationship, then I'll know I'm loved. When I get the job, then I'll know I have some prosperity. When this thing happens, then I'll know I'm creative. When that thing happens, then I'll know. But until then, I won't know. Until then, I won't give myself permission. But it's the other way around. It is completely the other way around. You can't wait until you finish the race to know you can start it. You got to get in the race. You have to be it first. Liberation has never trickled down. By the time the law confirms your equality, it's because you've already been living it. It's because you've already demanded it. You've already been seeing it. That's part of the reason we have all this marriage equality stuff going on now. Because for decades, people have just been hooking up, jumping the broom, and declaring themselves to be married.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They just been doing it. So these folks who are getting, quote-unquote, married now, these same-sex couples, they didn't just walk down the street, hey, I think I'd like to get, they've already been married.
Hello, wake up, right?
For years. The only thing that is happening now is that the law is catching up and recognizing the parity, recognizing and holding them in the same esteem. But the law ain't creating nothing. It already existed. That's how we have to live our lives. We have to work with our own internal self first. First. We have to believe inside. And once we believe that, when I know I'm enough, I'm not in competition with you anymore.
Yes.
When I know I'm enough, you're no threat to me. When I know I'm enough, then I can have the compassion. I can share. But it doesn't matter how much sharing I do if I don't believe I am enough. I'm going to be counting the sharing. Well, I gave more than you. and what am I getting out of this sharing? And when I'm going to get mine in this sharing? You know, so-and-so got more out of that share than I got. And it starts with the willingness within. Say, I am enough. Because it's a narrative, we just have to say it. You just have to tell yourself that over and over and over again till it sinks in. Not looking for somebody else. That's why we like being in love. Because we didn't experience our enoughness vicariously through somebody else's eyes. But we need to look into our own eyes. Stand in front of the mirror. I mean it really, literally. Stand in front of the mirror. Look in your own eyes. Say, I love you. You are perfect, whole, and complete. You are enough just the way you are. You are enough just the way you are. You do that a few times, something's going to crack. It'll sink in, I promise. But nobody can get it inside your head but you.
That's speaking power to truth. Becoming that truth and recognizing the truth in ourselves. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whew. I love me some Rifty.
As you are.
Yes.
Just
yes.
As you are. Just as you are. Just as you are. That's part of the reason I like the Bible so much. Because the stories in it, it always uses the most unlikely people. People who are weak, people who have flaws, people who are out of the ordinary. You know? It's like I can't even imagine what it must have been like for Jesus in his day. If there was an N-word in Hebrew, that would have been the Galileans. No, really. They were so poor that they were considered like another race, almost.
Wow.
And then there's all this cloud over his birth, who his father is. I mean, the amount of shame in a culture like that to be thought of as a bastard.
Hmm.
You know, a lot of people thought his father was a Roman soldier named Pantera. You can look that up. P-A-N-T-E-R-A. In the word Ben means son of. They used to call him, you know, Ben Pantera. They, you know, people didn't know who his daddy was. People don't know who he is, and he's an N. You know, who is this N of in here? Don't even know who his daddy is. Gonna tell us something. Gonna be the king.
Who do you think you are?
But he always but the Bible's just full of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just full of that. You know, let my people go. Moses stuttered. He couldn't even say it. God had to send his brother Aaron to talk. He knew he couldn't do all that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it just goes, you know, St. Peter. He was the original Simple Simon. I won't even go into that story. I mean, it's like the most unusual, most unlikely, just come as you are kind of folk. You know, big old King David, he's just a shepherd boy. You know, it just come as you are. That's all. Just don't worry about all that other stuff. Just say, God loves me and will use me just as I am. And then the rest happens on the journey. The healing,
yes.
Getting it together, the power, all that happens on the journey. You don't have to be someplace beforehand. Just show up. Just say yes. Just stop running. Stop hiding. Stop pretending like you don't know what you know. And you ain't been called like you've been called. Throw your hands up one time and say, I'm yours, God. And just watch the miracles start to happen. You don't have to know nothing. You don't have to understand nothing. Just say, here I am. Send me right now.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
I got two questions here. I'm thinking of reading one because I want to give some space and time for Wilhelmina. And this question, do you know of the reality TV called Preachers of LA?
You know, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay. I've been watching it. Celeste was telling me about it. It's preachers in LA, and they basically come and follow them around and how they live their life.
Is it the Preacher's Wives?
No, actually, no. This is called. Let me bring Celeste on because she's watched it. Celeste, I'm bringing you on because you're the one to be watching all that stuff.
Yes. It's a reality show. It's the Real Preachers of LA.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Because I was wondering what your take on prosperity would be in comparison to the reality show. But since you haven't seen it, we'll move on. But I believe you got another question there, Life Coach today, right?
Let me tell you this.
I have this moment. Reverend Deborah, you're getting so much love in the chat room. You're stepping on people's toes. Somebody said their pinky toe was missing in action. When you said, stop acting like you don't know what you know. Stop acting like you're not called. Bunch of us went ouch, but we say thank you. And there's more. There's just so much love, and I just hope you can feel that, because I don't know if you're in a chat room or not.
No, I'm not in the chat room. And you know what? I go through this, too. I go through it all of the time. That's how I know it. That's how I know it. And, you know, as it says in the letters, drama's optional. We don't have to get hit by the 2x4. A whisper really is enough. It really is.
And there's more. She keeps doing it. And you're giving me goosebumps. Holy Spirit revelations. Call Ghostbusters. Giggle. Western View. Yana, that's from Mother Wit. Love to you. I am enough. People are screaming in a chat room. Bam. Okay, thank you for allowing me to give her that life coach today. See?
Well, you know what? You know what we should do?
What?
We should set up some kind of just like webinar or something or whatnot.
Yes.
Where people
I've been thinking about that all the time you've been talking.
Yeah. So people can do that. The people can just, you know, throw in the questions and I'm just, you know, like in the chat room or something like that. You know, we should just do that.
I'm on it.
You know.
I will connect with Colleen. Thank you, Colleen, for everything that you do to support us in this moment. And there is a comment here where somebody was prophetic and said they wanted to sit at your feet.
Oh, that's
by
great.
By the way, so yes, I will follow up.
Well, yeah, let's do that. You know, and you know, and have it so they get a video feed.
Yes, I'm thinking Google Hangout.
So
Google
Google Hangout or something like that. Yeah.
Yes.
I say yes. Okay, Yvette, that's a team project for both of us, the other member of our team here. So
that's
thank
right.
you, and I'll let you guys continue.
You know, Reverend D, I'm listening to you, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm just thinking it's got to be, you can't just do this once every few months. And you know, because what you bring, what you make room for, what you allow is needed, and there's so much distractions. You know, because of time, there's another question, but I'm just going to leave that alone because you've shared a lot, really. And so, Celeste, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to leave that question alone. I want because we talked about Wilhelmina at the beginning of the show, and some of our listeners don't know who she is. And do you think you've got time for her to just tell us a little something, see what's going on in her consciousness?
Well, Wilhelmina is one of my alter egos, and Wilhelmina is, I call her an emotional ventriloquist, because she just blurts out, you know, what's on everybody else's mind, and you know, she just does that, and she always wants to know why. Why stuff, the one that I did recently is called Why Not Me, and you know, I'll close out with this one.
Okay.
And what I was telling people is notice the progression. That, and there was something that you said earlier. I forgot what it was in the beginning, but it was a spinoff from this. That the theme this month in my church has been, it's never too late for healing. And the subject that particular day when I did this was from why to why not. And I was quoting Robert Kennedy Jr., and he says, some people see things the way that they are and ask why. Some people see things that have never been and ask why not. It's that pain pushes until vision pulls that Beckwith speaks of all the time. And there's a way in which Wilhelmina phrases this question. So, you know, I'm telling you now, after this, it's over, okay?
That's right.
You got anything else you want to ask me now, because Wilhelmina going to close it out.
No, it's tough, because we've got about 8 minutes, so no, it's it. That's it. We're wrapping up with Wilhelmina.
Okay, all right. Let me get a little swig of water.
She gonna come in here like, why I gotta be the country of the planet to you?
Yeah. You know, I'm from the Crenshaw district of Los Angeles, and Wilhelmina goes back to the hood. She says, why? Why? Why not me? What's so wrong? Wait, hold on a second. Somebody knocked at my door. I got a... Wait. Sorry about that. Folks are just coming in.
No problem.
Why? Why? Why not me? What's so wrong with me and right about you that no matter what it is that I do, it never turns in the time that I have in mind, it becomes the kind to meet my plan so that I can demand the goodness that eludes, intrudes my psychic space. In my face, hope and dreams that just dribble into my thimble. Not the buckets that the luckets have. Oh, you know the luckets, the lucky ones. They have all the fun. The sun shines more brightly for them. The gems, they every whim responded to, like they got their own genie in a bottle, obeying their every command. My genie throttled, dissing my demands. Why? Why? Why not? Me. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, sidekicked by the hero with no place to go. I am treading water below the ones that are already drowning. Even the victims are ahead of me. Always on the outside, peeking in at the party. Maybe my invitation's just tardy, but it never, ever arrives. I dive at the chance to be on the team, but my dream is ringed by a lifetime of sitting on the bench. Sitting on the bench. Its own type of lynch that's killing my soul. Why? 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 Not me. If any of this spiritual stuff is true, then I don't have to do anything but bring my deepest content to the table, be able to relentlessly revive and thrive on what I know. Don't throw a fit when the facts don't fit, and don't act like the facts are all that just without the chips. If everything is equally available, why do I label things as his, hers, theirs, not ours? Maybe later, impractical, impossible. Why even bother to label it as good news or bad news, refusing to say it just is? I say, well, I don't want to be wearing no label. But y'all, I am dishing them out like they name tags so I can figure out what to call things instead of piercing through to what is true beyond all the appearance. Why not me? If the goodness is at hand, then why do I stand in the soup line of light and not assume my assignment at the banquet? Telling, retelling, selling my story about how hard it was just to get into the line. But if being in the line is my own construct, then I can deconstruct it with constructive, compassionate, co-creative, consciousness. My reality redesigned, realigned with spiritual truth. The sleuth in me no longer searching for what's wrong, but claiming what is right in spite of what's in my sight. The light always pointing to a brighter day, an easier way, an awareness that stays in the forefront of my mind. So why not me? Made in the image and the likeness of the creator of all things who sings praises that I was born. My soul joined, no accident, but an imprint of the master hand that plans for all of its creations the best that life has to offer. The coffers that are always flowing are overflowing on me. Why? 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 Because I'm alive. Because I'm alive. Because I am standing here, standing in the path of all good things as all good things are working together for my good. Why not
me. Oh, my tears not as salty. My fears just as faulty. My years less valuable because they are mine. Is my laughter less delightful? My knowing less insightful? My love less healing? My heart less revealing? Is there a patent on enoughness? Toughness, no longer the answer. A cancer spreading within. To win, no longer a pretense or at another's expense. Because there is good and plenty for all of God's children. Why not me? A unique individualized expression of the divine, refined by the refiner's fire. My only desire is to be what God would have me to be. Perceive the world through the eyes of unity and equanimity. I am here for a purpose, you see. To let God be God as me.
Go ahead, Wilhelmina. She deep. Yes. 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 The voice of the people.
The voice of the people.
Rev D, I love you. I love you with a love that goes beyond words. Because the minute I say what I feel for you, I don't even feel that captures what I feel. And I am so grateful to know you and this opportunity to have a conversation and for listeners to experience you. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you
likewise.
For saying yes.
You know, let's do the Google chat. Let's go for it.
We're on it. We're going to work on it, send you some dates and see what worked, and we'll put it out there. Because I was thinking about it all the time you were talking. I'm like, we've got to do more of this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Carlin, as well, for all you do behind the scenes. And Reverend Deborah, we'll see you real soon on Google Chat.
Okay.
Google Hangout.
All right.
Peace and blessings.
Take care.
Life is good. It's getting better. To find out more about Reverend Deborah, go to deborahjohnson.org. And innerlightministries.com. And if you go to innerlightministries.com, you can go to, what is it called? I think it's an instant video demand or something. Let me see. I closed it. But anyway, you can catch some of the archives of the show. And there's a the donate button. Give of yourself. Give of yourself. You've been inspired. You've been fed. No, Reverend Deborah didn't ask me to say this. I'm saying it because I hear it. Give back to where you received from. Because I don't care what you say. I know your life was touched and changed and inspired. Life is good. It's getting better. We are the one. We need each other. Let's develop a consciousness of plentitude. Let's remember that we are enough just as we are, so we may really understand and know what Reverend Deborah said, the inner sense of well-being. You don't need a 2x4. All you need is a whisper. A whisper is enough. And I want to tell you that I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. The show is archived, so you can go back and listen. And be love. It's the essence of who you are. Be true to yourself and allow yourself to be loved. You deserve it. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Valerie Joy. Lyrics written by Valerie Joy and Reverend Deborah Johnson. A Whisper is Enough. ValerieJoy.com. Peace and blessings.
Body, chaos in your home, the clutter of confusion, over blocks on the path.
you're wrong. Do you notice me when you're happy? Or is your euphoria much too high? Why wait till you're in the valley? Must you seek me with a sigh? What would it take for you to hear me? And what will it take for me to get through? A quiet whisper is enough for me, but what will it take for you? The bleakness of your winter, in the purging of your fall, even in the spring and summer, when you think you're the center of it all, I'm there for you when you want me, even there for you when you're done. I am there before you call me, I come through even when you think I won't. So what will it take for you to hear me? And what will it take for me to get through? A quiet whisper is enough for me, but what will it take for you? Your life to be fulfilled. Must you make it so hard for me? I don't desire that you be angry. I don't rejoice when you're all alone. I created you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.